Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I talked with architect Frank Gehry when he was in Philadelphia for the opening of the exhibition showcasing his plans for the art museum's renovation and expansion. We sat in the gallery surrounded by his drawings and architectural models.
This particular renovation and project you mentioned is not a typical building of yours. How did the form and the function of this existing building lead you? You talked about the yellow brick road and the DNA of the building.
Well, Horace Trumbauer and Julian Ebel, partners in crime that designed this building originally, were uncanny because they left a open-ended design, thinking in advance that there could be changes and additions and made. And so the long tunnel, which I suppose was for carriages and people to arrive at the time, is an amazing opportunity for the expansion because it allows you to build 50,000 or more square feet at that level and make it feel like it's still part of the museum. And then by taking the auditorium out, which he never had, Trumbauer had a vertical circulation envisioned there and joining the building vertically. So by taking that out, you enable the expansion to happen as though it was meant to happen. It's kind of there. You just follow the directions, kind of. I mean, I was predisposed not to mess with the building, and I've tried to leave it as intact as possible and not put my stamp on it, except that I'm going to be very proud of being the guy that uncorks it and makes it work. And I think it's going to be a miracle, so I'm getting plenty of ego creds out of that. I'm not worried about it in any way that I've wasted my time or spent time. It's something that I'm not going to be proud of. And in fact, I dream of completing this, and I'm 85, so I hope people in Philadelphia get as excited about it as we all are and help with the fundraising, make it happen.
Well, it's really ingenious, and it's funny how Timothy Rubb talked about the partnership that you had with the museum as an organization, and you talked about the collaboration with the original architect of this building.
And Anne.
And so as you were designing it and taking it through the various incarnations, it seems as if it's almost a kind of spiritual collaboration.
It is. It's transcendental. It's in space. Somebody should make a movie about it.
Well, it's interesting. You also have said it's all about the art. And I noticed in the drawings of the space, of the galleries under the steps that are on this wall over here, You have, in some of the drawings, large sculptures placed. Were you envisioning art, particular art, as you were creating that space?
No, I don't presume to be a curator. They have a great contemporary curator, Carlos, and I hope he's excited about his future with this space. We've tried to make it special, so it gives him a lot of flexibility. And who can predict what's going on in art? You know, just the perversion, it'll go back to tiny little paintings, probably. They got so big and so big and so big that they couldn't find space for it. So now they're out in the city. They're preempting architects. I love it, but then who knows where it's going.
Well, the other thing I thought about when I looked at the design of this, of the galleries underneath the steps and the skylights and the sunken gardens, I also understand that fish have played a role in some of your other designs. Is there any idea of fish in this?
Yeah, it's something fishy, probably. Fish is just... I was looking for a way to express movement in architecture because it was so obviously done in the Greek sculptures and Indian sculptures, and I thought it was a way to humanize or make more accessible buildings that you know, minimalism has become such a dead end, and now it's being regurgitated as though it had some gravitas, which it's just endless dehumanization. It's moved to dehumanize places to such an extent. It's like an operating room or something, cleansing, and it loses all its feeling. And so I didn't want to repeat 19th century decoration, and I got taken with the idea of movement. And you see it in the folds of Bernini and in the folds of Michelangelo's drawings, and it's such a primitive idea that movement is in our world today with planes, cars, boats, everything. I don't know what we'll do to express digital.
Well, that's fascinating. The ceiling of those galleries, I guess, has that movement in it.
Yeah, I think the ceiling, Anand, my young partner there, spent the better part of a year designing that ceiling. We have 30 or 40 models of it. I think he nailed it. And I would guess that has as much a debt to the Renaissance as anything.
When you were talking before about the challenge of doing such a large renovation on an iconic building, you were talking about changes, and Timothy's talked about changes within the building that actually enhance the ability to appreciate it as it was intended to be. Is that fair to say?
I think that's spot on. I think that opening it up to its original intentions and prophecies, so to speak, is amazing, and it'll be enlightening to people who have come to this building for years. When this is done, it's going to be a whole new experience, and yet it's still the same building. And I think that's going to be the magic, that you'll wonder how this happened.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing it develop.
Let's move it out and get it going.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.